Thank you, Brother Matt. For our scripture reading, we just have a few verses. Let's turn to Romans 8, starting at verse 28. Romans 8, 28 to 30. Our title this morning of our subject is Called According to His Purpose. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. At the beginning of this year, I gave an exhortation entitled, I Am Called by Thy Name, in which we looked at the thought in Jeremiah to that reference. And we talked about how the name of deity is manifested in us. So while we were reading about the calling of Abraham during our Wednesday night class, I began to think of the aspect of him being called out of Ur of the Chaldees, the mechanisms of that and how that happened, why, and especially how that might relate to us as well. Let's turn again to the verses that we looked at then in Hebrews 11, the chapter of faith, and we're going to read verses 8 and 9. And this is a testimony of the faithful, as we know, and here particularly in the first part about Abraham, because there's a couple mentions of him in this particular chapter. Hebrews 11, 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So here we see that Abraham was called out. We see a man living in a land and city of some considerable consequence at the time. This city was a place of many kinds of worship. But we also see that Abram, being of the lineage of Seth, stretching some 10 generations back in a period of about 290 years, was evidently familiar with proper sacrifice to Yahweh, as we discussed on Wednesday. He was not a young man at the time, and he would have had to endure many years of unrighteousness around him, we suspect. His obedience, though, to God's request to leave and take all that he had was immediate. He was called and he obeyed. We are not told of how the instruction was given, but most likely was by a dream or angelic visitation of some kind. But his faith guided him to where the Lord instructed him to go. He took his wife, his nephew, all their substance and servants, and ventured forth into the land of Canaan. Speaking of Abraham's calling, Isaiah says this in Isaiah 51, 2. Look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. This was a very important calling and the basic establishment of the promises that would be given through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, and unto Christ. The word called in Hebrews is kaleo, means to properly call or bid. And the word in Romans is kletos, which means invited, appointed, or saint, according to Strong's. Isaiah 45:4. Let's turn that up real quick. Sorry. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. The word elect is chosen one, or selected, and it holds a very close word definition to the aspect of calling. Have you ever wondered why you were called? I sometimes wonder that as well. There's no way that I do not look back and see the providential hand of God in my particular life. Maybe you have the same experiences as well. My aunt and uncle, who we visited many times down here, happened to live next door to the Stantons. And I got to thinking early on, why me? Why was I called? Well, maybe it was to make everyone else look good. But I do feel that I was called in a manner. In fact, all of us that were brought in from the outside, the truth, myself and Brother Lou from Catholicism, Brother Sid from the Baptist Church, and many others who have their story of being introduced to the truth in one way or the other. So, what is a calling? Why us? And how do we look at those brought up in families of the truth? Were they called? Weren't they just always in the truth? Aren't they different from us? We will look at that in a bit. This concept of calling is used throughout Scripture. We won't go into the many faithful mentioned, but Noah, Abraham, Moses, Ruth, not to mention the apostles, which we read in part in Matthew 4, 18 to 22. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Once again, we see this aspect of the call being answered immediately. Like we read in class the other night, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. How? By belief only? No, by belief and obedience. It is the same for us, brethren. We have been given the invitation, and it is up to us what we do with it. Let's look at a few scriptures. Let's start with Paul. Paul talks about his calling a lot. Sorry, I'm losing my voice. Sorry about that, brethren. Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Let's turn to Galatians 1, 13 to 15. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in a Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, the ecclesia of God, and profited in the Jews' religion above many, my equals of my own nation, being more exceedingly jealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace. We know that Paul was born into the Jewish faith, and we see the testimony that he gives in Philippians 3. Verse 5, we'll just read that. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. But he says, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He was born into the relation. Circumcised the eighth day would have brought him into the covenant. Natural covenant. But then he says he was called by his grace. We see that separation is tied in the aspect of being called. The nation of Israel is a prime example. They were separated that they may be a unique nation unto their heavenly Father. The same calling carries through to all of the believers from the days of the first ecclesias. Turn to Romans 1. We're going to read verses 3 through 7. Romans 1, 3. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, in a sense, was called from his lineage, but also because of the visitation on the road, he was called out once again. He was called out to grace. He was called to be a saint. 1 Corinthians 1:2. Unto the ecclesia of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. In verse 9 it says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Called to fellowship of Christ, called to be saints. Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation or invitation wherewith ye are called. And skipping down to verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in the one hope of your calling. Second Peter 1, 10 and 11. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Even after we are called and selected out of this world, we have to make our entrance into the heavenly, into the everlasting kingdom sure. We have to obey. We have to, as Abraham, when he went out, he obeyed and did it immediately. 2 Timothy 1, 8 and 9. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We are called with a holy calling and for his own purpose, which we will look at in just a minute. Let's go back to our reading in Romans 8. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, them he glorified. We talked about the justification of Abraham. And it was because of his obedience and his understanding of sacrifice, of bloodshedding as a covering for sin. Let's turn to 1 Peter Chapter 1, verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Elect according to the foreknowledge. And that's what he talks about here. We have an interesting progression in these verses. We have foreknowledge. We have marking out or appointing. We have predetermination. Then calling forth and justification. Then glorification comes at the end of a life obedience to that call. This process does not make us robots. It does not interfere with our free will, nor does it determine an outcome that we have no part in. The Lord in his omniscience knows the beginning and the end. The way we were called varies greatly. Whether we were an interested Bible student before, if we came into contact with a true believer, if we were given a pamphlet on the truth, if we came close to dying and suddenly got religion, if we were brought up in the truth and seemed to have an advantage in the knowledge of the scriptures, we all, brethren, we all come to the point that we realize our mortal condition and want to do something about it. Our first act of faith is at baptism. At some point, God calls us all. Then we have to decide. So when we look at children of believers that are brought up in the truth, they are really no different from us, other than having the advantage of the truth being taught. They still are called at a certain time that they decide, that God decides. Many were brought up in Christadelphian households that have nothing to do with the truth. But many who were brought up in other religious families also came to the truth. Which brings us to our next section. When we look back at 2 Timothy 1, 8, and 9, and our verse in Romans, we see the phrase, according to his own purpose. And in Romans it says, called according to his purpose. Now, we see this concept mentioned several times in the scripture. And this is very important for us to understand. How we are called, the mechanics of it, is not really important in the scheme of God's thoughts. He has a purpose that will be fulfilled with or without us. We who have been touched by the truth, brethren, have a dire responsibility. We have been chosen for a purpose, for God's purpose. Let's turn to Romans 9, read 9 to 11. Romans 9, 9. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. We'll talk about this when we read, we're going to read from Elpis, Israel, about this aspect of election. We have been called for God's purpose, which makes us, should make us think about what we are doing each and every day. In Ephesians 1, turn to Ephesians 1, 9 through 11. We have the same type of concept here being taught. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated or foreknown according to the purpose of him which worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Once again, we see this aspect of the divine purpose being brought forth. I'm going to read a small section from Elpis Israel. And in my version, it's on page 264, 265. And in case you're interested, it's chapter 3, the gospel preached to Isaac and Jacob, dealing with election. The verse that we read about Sarah having a son and the children not being born yet, he deals with in this section, talks when Isaac was 60 and so forth. He says this in the preamble to talking about the aspect of election or selection. This election had relationship to the purpose of God revealed in the promises to Abraham and Isaac. He purposed to make a mighty nation of their posterity, out of whom he shall come that shall have dominion. This purpose could not be accomplished if left to the undirected will of man. Abraham would have made Ishmael his heir, and Isaac would have elected Esau, both of which, as events have shown, would have defeated rather than have promoted the purpose of God. He goes on to say in the next paragraph, it may be remarked here that the election of Scripture has reference to the purpose of God in relation to the constitution of the kingdom. He has elected its territory. He has elected the nation to inhabit it forever. He has elected the king to rule over it. He has elected its saints to assist him in the administration of its affairs. The election in all these cases have been of him that calleth. This election, however, is not such as divines contend for, nor does it relate to the subjects in which they treat. He does not say to this man, I elect you from all eternity to be saved from the flames of hell. Do what you may. Nor does he say to that, I predetermine you to reprobation and eternal torture. Do what you can. To affirm this of God is to blaspheme his name. The scriptures declare that he is no respecter of persons, that he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. And that he is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Such a statement as this is entirely at variance with theology, whose traditions are the exaltations of the carnal mind of a fierce and gloomy age. He goes on, God elects saints for his kingdom, not by foregone conclusions, which are irreversible, but men are elect through sanctification of spirit and to obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. This reveals to us the means and designs of the election in relation to the present time. Sanctification of spirit is the means. Obedience and sprinkling of Christ's blood, the end. How this is brought about is explained in these words. You have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. The manner in which men are brought to obedience and purification by the sprinkled blood through the Spirit is practically explained in the use of the keys by Peter on the day of Pentecost and at the house of Cornelius. The Spirit, through the apostle, convinced men of sin and righteousness and judgment to come and confirmed his words by the signs which accompanied them. They believed and obeyed the truth, and in obeying it were purified from all past sins by faith in the blood of sprinkling. Thus they were washed and sanctified and justified by the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of God. And after this manner, elected, selected, or called according to his foreknowledge and predetermination. We see another concept here that is brought forth in these verses in Ephesians 1. We've already talked about the aspect of the purpose. But in verse 9, we are told that according to his good pleasure has he purposed in himself. In Ephesians 1:5, we read, having predestinated us, foreknown us, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Philippians 2:13, we read, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and work of faith with power. Psalm 147:11. The Lord taketh pleasure, Yahweh taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And in Colossians, we're told in 1 verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. It was God's great pleasure and to his wonderful purpose that he has called us out of darkness and given us the light of the truth. The calling of the saints fulfills both the purpose and pleasure of Yahweh, but we are only truly pleasing to our Heavenly Father if we are obedient to his several will. 1 John 3:22 to 24. We're told, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. We read in the scripture about Abraham's life of faithfulness, about how that by faith and action he was justified. But it all began by a single invitation, a calling. We, brethren, we have been called into that one hope, separated from the world around us, into the true gospel of God, called to be saints. What will we do with it in the end? Will we continue our faith, especially in these trying days? For the time draws near for Christ's return, we see. Will we be found faithful? We have been called out. We have been selected for God's divine purpose. What will we do with it? 1 Peter will end reading chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail or fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you.